Hello, Fearless One. Welcome to Fearless One with Nerissa Golden. Let me begin with a question. If God gave you more money today, would you know what to do with it? I don't mean what would you buy first. I mean, would you know how to manage it, multiply it, and use it to accomplish the purpose for which you were created? Many of us are asking God for more, but we have never stopped to consider what more is for. We think about paying the bills, clearing the debt, buying a home, taking a holiday, or finally having enough money to breathe. There is nothing wrong with wanting those things, but if our entire financial vision ends with our own comfort, we are still thinking too small. God's provision is personal, but it is really meant to stop with us. He blesses us so we can become a blessing. Today, we are talking about five money mindsets that may be keeping you from receiving, managing, and multiplying what God wants to place in your hands. This is not a message promising that every believer will become a millionaire. It is also not a message suggesting that wealth proves someone is more spiritual than everyone else. Money is a resource. It can create options, solve problems, build institutions, support families, fund ideas, and advance good work. But it also exposes what is already happening in our hearts. The question is not simply, how much money do you have? The deeper question is, what do you believe about money and what are those beliefs causing you to do? The first mindset is believing that you only need enough for yourself, enough to pay your rent, to buy groceries, to keep the lights on, enough to get through another month. Survival has a way of shrinking our imagination. When you have spent years trying to make ends meet, just enough can feel like an ambitious prayer. But what if God wants to provide through you, not only for you? What if the business you are building is meant to employ other people? What if your income is meant to educate a child, support a ministry, finance an invention, restore a building, care for an aging parent, or create opportunities in your community? God told Abraham that he would bless him and that he would become a blessing. The blessing was never intended to end with Abraham. This connects directly with the Fearless framework. You are blessed. That is your identity. You are fruitful. You develop what God has placed within you. You multiply. What you have begins to create value for others. You exercise dominion. You store resources, responsibility, and influence well. If your financial vision only includes your own needs, multiplication never enters the picture. Thinking bigger is not about buying more expensive things. It is about accepting a larger assignment. In Matthew 6, Jesus teaches us to ask for daily bread. He also tells us not to become consumed with questions about what we will eat, drink, or wear. Our Father already knows what we need, he says. The Message translation captures the heart of the passage beautifully. We are not to become preoccupied with getting. We are to respond to what God is doing and trust Him with the things we need. Daily bread is God's responsibility. Our responsibility is to seek His kingdom and ask for the wisdom to manage what He provides. Maybe your next prayer should not only be, God, give me more money. Maybe it should be, God, increase my capacity. Show me what the money is for. Give me the wisdom to manage what is already in my hands. Show me whose life should be better because you blessed me. The second mindset is hoarding. Hoarding is not the same as saving. Saving is wise preparation. Hoarding is fear dressed as financial responsibility. Saving says I'm preparing for the future. Hoarding says I cannot release anything because I may never have enough again. You can have very little and still have a hoarding mindset. You can also have millions and live as though every pound, dollar, or euro must be protected from everyone else. Hoarding places your security in what you have accumulated. It teaches you to trust the storehouse more than the source. There is wisdom in emergency funds, pensions, investments, and planning. The Bible does not teach carelessness. Joseph stored grain in preparation for famine. The problem is not having reserves. The problem is believing that your reserves are the only thing keeping you safe. Jesus tells the story of a wealthy man whose land produced an abundant harvest. The man decided to tear down his barns and build bigger ones. His entire conversation was about himself, my crops, my barns, my grain, my goods. There was no thought about God, his community, or what the abundance had been given to accomplish. The problem was not that he had a successful harvest. The problem was that his vision for the harvest ended with himself. Generosity interrupts hoarding. It reminds us that money is a tool. It's not our God. Generosity does not mean saying yes to every request. It does not mean allowing people to manipulate you. Good stewardship requires wisdom, boundaries, and discernment. But if you never release anything, you may need to ask whether fear has taken control of your finances. Who benefits from what God has placed in your hands? What problem are your resources helping to solve? What would generosity look like at your current income level, not at some imaginary point in the future? You do not become generous when you become wealthy. You practice generosity with what you have now. The third mindset is refusing to invest. Some people spend everything, some hoard everything. Others bury what they have because they are terrified of losing it. Jesus addresses this in the parable of the talents. A master entrusted resources to three servants. Two of them put what they received to work and produced more. The third servant buried his portion. He did not waste it. He did not steal it. He preserved it. But the master still challenged him because he had done nothing productive with what he had been given. The servant's problem was not a lack of resources, it was fear. He was so afraid of making a mistake that he refused to make a move. Many of us are doing the same thing. We are burying money that could be developing us. We refuse to invest in education because the course costs too much. We postpone looking after our health, although poor health may eventually cost far more. We avoid investing for the future because we think the amount we have is too small to matter. We will not invest in our business, our systems, or professional support, but we remain frustrated that the business cannot grow beyond our personal capacity. Investing is not limited to the stock market or property. You can invest in knowledge. You can invest in your health. You can invest in relationships. You can invest in technology that gives you time back. You can invest in assets that continue producing value after the initial work is done. You can invest financially and allow compounding to work over time. Compounding often looks unimpressive at the beginning. The early growth may seem small, but consistency and time can turn small amounts into significant resources. That is true of money, knowledge, relationships, and reputation. This does not mean investing recklessly. It means learning, seeking qualified advice, and taking appropriate action rather than allowing fear to bury your resources. God does not require you to produce what someone else produced, but he does expect you to steward what he entrusted to you. The fourth mindset is resentment and comparison. Someone else buys a home, signs a major contract, receives a promotion, or grows a successful business, and something tightens inside you. You may congratulate them publicly while privately asking, "Why them and not me?" Comparison makes someone else's success feel like evidence of your failure. But we do not all have the same assignment. God may entrust one person with the resources to build a school. Another may be called to fund the school. Someone else may teach there. Another person may create the technology the school uses. Each assignment requires different resources. If you spend your time studying someone else's portion, you will neglect what is in your hands. Their success has not reduced God's capacity to bless you. Their opportunity has not canceled your assignment. Their harvest may also be the result of seeds they planted years ago, sacrifices you never saw, and responsibilities you may not want. Instead of begrudging what someone else has, become curious. What can their success teach you? What decisions did they make? What skills did they develop? What systems did they build? What doors did they have to knock on repeatedly before anyone opened? You do not need their life. You need the wisdom, courage, and resources required for your assignment. Celebrate people without turning their lives into a measurement of your worth. Their success is information, not an indictment. The fifth mindset may be the deepest one. You do not believe you deserve to have money. Some believers feel guilty about wanting financial success. They have absorbed the idea that poverty is automatically holy and wealth is automatically corrupt. Certain Christian traditions have honored voluntary poverty as a particular religious calling. But that is not a command given to every believer, and not every Catholic priest takes a vow of poverty. The Bible presents a much more complete picture of money. Abraham was wealthy. Job had substantial wealth, lost it, and later had his fortunes restored. Solomon possessed extraordinary resources. Lydia was a businesswoman who used her money and resources to support the early church. There are biblical accounts in which material abundance demonstrates God's generosity. But wealth by itself is not proof that someone is righteous, approved by God, or spiritually mature. Money can be a blessing, and it can become a trap. The Bible warns us about greed, exploitation, pride, dishonest gain, and trusting in riches. The problem is not money itself. The problem is what rules the heart. Ecclesiastes says that money answers or provides for many practical needs. That observation is not permission to worship money. It is an acknowledgement that money has practical power in the world. Money pays for food. Money builds homes. Money funds research. Money provides medical care. Money supports missionaries. Money creates jobs. Money gives people options. It is dishonest to say money does not matter. It does. But money is a servant. It is a terrible master. If God gives you wealth, the question is not whether you are worthy enough to have it. The question is whether you are willing to become responsible enough to steward it. Your identity does not come from your bank balance. You are blessed because God created and called you blessed. You do not have to use poverty to prove your humility. Neither should you use wealth to prove your importance. You can receive without shame, give without fear, invest with wisdom, and build without apologizing for succeeding. In 1 Chronicles 4, we meet Jabez. His story is only a few lines long, but his prayer is bold. He asks God to bless him, enlarge his territory, remain with him, and protect him from harm. Jabez does not specifically ask to become wealthy. He asks for enlargement. More territory would bring more opportunity, but it would also bring more responsibility. That matters. We often ask God for expansion without asking for the character, discipline, and wisdom required to manage it. Isaiah 54 also tells God's people to enlarge the place of their tent, stretch the curtains, lengthen the cords, and strengthen the stakes. Notice that expansion requires preparation. You cannot simply stretch the tent. You must strengthen what will hold it in place. You may be praying for more clients while your systems cannot serve them. You may be praying for more money while avoiding your accounts. You may be praying for a larger platform while refusing to develop your message. You may be praying for greater influence while neglecting your character. Expansion without stronger stakes can cause the entire structure to collapse. So yes, ask God for more. Ask Him to enlarge your territory, but also ask, Lord, enlarge my capacity. Strengthen my character. Teach me to manage money. Show me where fear is controlling my decisions. Help me recognize the purpose attached to the provision. Make me a trustworthy steward of more. Before we pray, take some time to consider these questions. Where am I thinking too small about what God could accomplish through me? Am I saving wisely or hoarding because I am afraid? What resource have I buried because I am frightened of making a mistake? Do I resent what someone else has instead of focusing on my assignment? Do I feel guilty or undeserving when I think about receiving more? What would I do with additional money beyond meeting my own needs? What stakes must I strengthen before my territory can expand? Let's pray. Father, thank you for being our provider. Thank you for knowing what we need before we ask. Forgive us for the times we have allowed fear, shame, comparison, or selfishness to control our relationship with money. Renew our minds. Teach us to see money as a resource to be stewarded, not a source of identity or security. Give us our daily bread and free us from anxiety about tomorrow. Give us wisdom to manage what we have already received. show us what to save, what to give, what to invest, and what to build. Help us to stop thinking only about our own needs. Show us how our lives and resources can become a blessing to others. Where we have buried what you gave us, give us the courage to take wise action. Where we have begrudged the success of others, help us to celebrate them and return our attention to our own assignment. Where we have believed that we are undeserving, remind us that our identity is established in you, not in wealth or poverty. Bless us indeed. Enlarge our territory. Let your hand be with us. Keep us from evil and from the pride, greed, and fear that can accompany money. As you enlarge our tents, help us to lengthen the cords and strengthen the stakes. Give us the capacity, character, and discipline to manage more. May everything you place in our hands accomplish the purpose for which it was given. In Jesus' name, amen. Fearless One, money cannot tell you who you are. It can only reveal and resource what you already believe you have been called to do. You are blessed. You have been created to become fruitful. What you develop can multiply and create value for others. And you have been called to exercise dominion by stewarding it responsibly. If this episode challenged you, share it with someone who may need to rethink their relationship with money. You can also find more about identity, purpose, and building from God's original design in my book, Live Fearless, A Christian Entrepreneur's Guide to Life and Business. Thank you for listening to Fearless One with Nerissa Golden. Until next time, live fearless.